Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I see Rabbi Bamberg in the back. Shalom, Rabbi. Rabbi Yaniv, thank you for that introduction. Students of the Landis College, guests that are here tonight, guests of our host, Chazak, of this event. I didn't realize that the last event we had was before COVID. The time goes by fast. Nonetheless, my topic tonight will be some secrets that I'd like to reveal before the upcoming Chag HaPesach. Sheyavo alinu letova, amen. I didn't bring one. So there's a very, very important Rav Tzadok HaKohen in the Sefer called Pri Tzadik. He talks about the value of the day Rosh Chodesh. His question is, why do they call it Rosh Chodesh Rosh and not Hathala? It's the beginning, so Hathala Tachodesh. And he goes on to explain that just like the head of a body is the engine that runs the whole body, and all the function of the body emanates from the brain power, so the brain of the month is Rosh Chodesh. And therefore all of the products of the month and all the events of the month and all the spiritual energies of the month are laden in the Rosh. So it's a concentrated day that if you see anything in a month, you have to know its DNA and its origins and its the genome of it is in Rosh Chodesh. So it's, Rosh Chodesh is not one day. It's actually a compendium of the whole month concentrated into that one day. It is the Rosh of the month. And everything that you see come out in the month was in the Rosh. Once he introduces us to this concept, he says a tremendous chiddush. He writes that, let's talk about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Rosh Chodesh Nisan can fall out during the week and it can fall out during Shabbat, like this year. Now if it falls out during the week, it's a weekday Rosh Chodesh. So Rosh Chodesh is one Kiddusha. So that means the Pesach that's going to be in that month is coming from a Rosh Chodesh that came out during the week. However, when you have Rosh Chodesh Shechal Yod B'Shabbat, the Rosh is different because the Kiddusha of Shabbat is now playing off of Kiddushat Rosh Chodesh, and Kiddushat Rosh Chodesh is playing off of Shabbat. If you were in the synagogue this week, you saw we had three Sefrei Torah on the Teva. And therefore, a Shabbat Rosh Chodesh Nisan makes Pesach better. Because since the origin, since the Rosh is doubly infused with Kiddushah, I give the mashal, if you have two parents with dominant genes, so the child has a better chance because it's coming from two parents as opposed to one parent that has a dominant gene and a recessive. Here you have two dominant kiddushot. And therefore the Pesach of this year, and I quote, I thought it's wondrous what he said. He writes, "Umimela shnehem mekablim kiddusha ze mize. Kiddushat Rosh Chodesh mekabel mekiddushat Shabbat. בקדושת שבת מראש חודש וממילא יהיה קדושת המועד שיבוא אחריו גדולה יותר מכל שנה." So therefore this year Pesach, we can add a fifth question, מה נשתנה פסח זה מכל הפסחים? This year Pesach is not the same Pesach. It's infused with extra קדושה because the parent of Pesach is Rosh Chodesh. And since this Rosh Chodesh had a Shabbat attached to it, it's a doubly dominant force, and therefore directly influences the Pesach. That's something to look forward to. Well, based on this, I want to answer now a question. I opened the Haggadah, and I started to look at the Haggadah to review it, And I noticed that in the Haggadah Shel Pesach there is mention of Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is mentioned in the Haggadah. Where is it mentioned? We mentioned the four sons. The Hacham, the Rasha, the Tam, the She'enu Yudei, and the Sha. The Hacham is the gifted child. The Rasha is the child that went off the Derech. The Tam, we'll call him the simple child. He doesn't know how to express himself so well. She'enu Yudei, and the Sha. We might call him the special child today. I don't have a problem with the four sons being mentioned. They're the essence of Pesach. They're the ones that have the questions. Those are the ones that we have to respond to. The whole story of Pesach is to one of the children. But then at the end of the fourth son, after we get to She'enu Yodei Al Lish'al, the Haggadah goes off on a tangent. Now, to be honest with you, this tangent I don't think even belongs in the Haggadah. I had a big urge at least to put it in parentheses and put on the side of my Haggadah optional. Because at first glance, this has nothing to do with the story of the Exodus. Let me tell you what it says. Yachol Mirosh Chodesh. Whenever you see Yachol, you take your thumbs out. Yachol. The Gemara is asking a question. Or the Midrash. Do you think, or you might have thought, that you could start reading the Haggadah on Rosh Chodesh? Yachol Mirosh. What, do you think so? No. Talmud Lomar Bayomahu. You can only read the Haggadah on that day, on the day that you bring the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara asks, oh, Iba Yomahu, if you think it's done on that day, Yachol me be'od yom, could you read the Haggadah during the day of Erev Pesach? Tamud lomar ba'avur zeh. You could only read the Haggadah when you can point to the mitzvot. Lo amarti ela b'sha'a shematzah, Umaror munachim nefanecha. You could only read the Haggadah Shel Pesach when the matzah and the maror are laid out in front of you. Now, by the way, I love this piece because it's very educational. It goes through the back and forth of when the potential days, what I have thought, when you could read Haggadah Shel Pesach. Rosh Chodesh? No. Yomahu? Well, maybe during the day? No. Ba'avur zeh. But my dear friends, where does this belong, this discussion? You know where it belongs? Right here, in the yeshiva. It's academic. This belongs in the Beit Midrash. It's a good halachic discussion with sources. When is the proper time to read Haggadah Shel Pesach? But I'm reading the Haggadah. I'm in the middle of the Seder now. Why are you digressing me now in the middle after the four sons? Oh, you know what, Rabotai? Maybe then, maybe before, maybe after. It's academic. What does it have to do with Haggadah Shel Pesach? It's not one of the plagues. Doesn't talk about the Avodat Parech. Doesn't talk about the splitting of the sea. Doesn't talk about anything that happened in Egypt. It's a technical halachic question. By the way, if you want to start getting involved in halacha, let's learn Hilchot Afiyat Matzah. Let's learn some of the laws of baking of the matzah. Throw it in there. Let's learn some recipes for the haroset as well. We're not putting anything that has to do with Pesach in the Haggadah. It's not a garden variety, whatever has to do with Pesach, throw it in. It's only things that have to do with the Sipur, Yitzhak, Mitzrayim. So why all of a sudden this diversion? Yachol Merosh Chodesh. So before I go further, I must tell you, although I had an urge to put this in a parenthetical, but then I came across a sefer that's called Ahavat HaTorah. Ahavat HaTorah was written by a rabbi about 150 years ago in Europe. The book is only 99 pages. The main part of the book is a theory of his. His theory is that he believes that the most important word in the Torah is Yudke Vavke, which I agree. The name of God. I don't know what possessed him. I guess his Ahavat HaTorah possessed him. He counted how many times does it say the Yudke Vavke in the Torah. From Bereshit to Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Now mind you, 150 years ago, they didn't have Google, they didn't have computers, so he had to do it the old-fashioned way, manually. He counted one at a time. And he says he did it a few times just so he gets the right number, and he came out with the exact number, 1,820. Okay, not exciting to any of us. That number doesn't mean anything to me. 1820. I know there was a war in 1812. They taught us in school. But 1820 is a random number. But that's how many Yudke Vavkes are in the Torah. You learn something. What makes the book fascinating is that he then goes on for the next 50 pages or so to show you how many times throughout Tanakh you find this number 1820. And his theory is that anything that's connected to 1820 must be very important. Because if God signed his name in the Torah 1820 times, anytime you'll find something else that has that magic number, that must mean that it's very holy and very divine. So new number that we're adding to our list of lucky numbers, 1820. I'll give you just an example of what he says. He says, if you count from Bereshit, the 1820th word in the Torah, word, it's not Yudke Vavke. It's the word Larov. Larov. Lamed Resh Bet. She says, oh, very good. Because we know the Yudke Vavke has different gematria. Sometimes the Yudke Vavke, if you open the letters up, can equal 72. It's called the Shema Ein Bet. If you spell it Yud Vav Dalet Yud, and then He, He Yud, and Vav Yud Vav, and then Hey Yud. That's called spelling the Habaya with the letters of Yud. That's equal 72. There's another way that it equals 63. There's another way that it equals 45. There's another way that it equals 52. Shem Ab, Shem Sag, Shem Ma, Shem Ben. Now if you take 72 plus 63 plus 45 plus 52, it equals 232. That's another magic number. 232 is all the configurations of Hashem's name according to the Kabbalah. And therefore he says, the 1820th word is Larov, Lamed Resh Bet, is Gematria 232, because that is the Gematria of the holy name of Hashem. So therefore he brings a lot of Nebazim like that. But then he says, one of the things that I found that also is connected to this divine number is the Haggadah Shel Pesach. He says, if you count from the beginning of the Haggadah, which is Halach Ma'anya, and you go all the way to Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, exactly 1820 words. Therefore, he says, make sure you don't skip any words, because you want to get to the divine number. That means the Haggadah is infused with this Kedushah. Chacham Avadya Yosef, Alav Hashem, used to say, Bala matzah yatsa, bala haggadah lo yatsa. That if you swallow the matzah, it's okay, but if you swallow the haggadah, you're not yotze. You have to enunciate and say every word. So I don't have the option to skip Yachol Mirosh Chodesh. We're going to have to say it. We cannot now delete anything from the haggadah. So now we're forced to explain what is it doing here. It's part of the 1820 words. And therefore, we would compromise the Haggadah greatly even if we'd remove one word. So my question was, and I think you should know the answer already, based on what we said. Why would I have thought that you could read the Haggadah on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Whenever the Gemara has a question, you have to try to put your brains, and why would the rabbis asking this question? Because they must have thought for some reason that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is a suitable day. Then the Gemara says, no, it's not. But what was the first thought? Yachol Mirosh Chodesh. Why would I think I could read Haggadah Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Based on what I told you from Rav Tzadok HaKohen, it's very good. Because when is our first connection? When do we meet Pesach for the first time? When is our first attraction to Pesach? On Rosh Chodesh. Because since it's the Rosh of the month, the energy and the DNA of Pesach is in Rosh Chodesh. So I might have thought, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's the engine. And therefore I might have thought, since the month's properties are actually laden into the Rosh Chodesh itself, after all, the body goes after the Rosh, and therefore, if it's in the month, it's got to be in the Rosh. So Pesach is in the Rosh. That's why I would have thought that I could read Haggadah on Rosh Chodesh. And the Haggadah says, no, wait till the Matzah Maror in front of you. That's correct. I'll give you another answer. Another answer I saw is from the Abu Darham. What's the main theme of Haggadah Shel Pesach? There's three items. The Ban Gamliel says, whoever didn't say these three items in the Haggadah, lo yatsa yedei chobato. And what are they? Pesach, Masah, Umaror. Beautiful. Pesach meaning the Korban Pesach, Matzah meaning the Matzah that we have to eat with the Korban, and Maror, the bitter herbs. That's Haggadah Shel Pesach. If you want to summarize Haggadah in three words, it's Pesach, Masah, Maror. When was the first time Moshe taught us the laws of Pesach, Masah, Maror? In the Bible, in the Torah, when were these three items taught to Bnei Israel? I'll tell you. In this week's parasha, in the third Sefer Torah, we read, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim. This month is the month belongs to you. That was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu tell the Jewish people not meeting on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Go take a sheep and tie it to your bedpost. And then you're going to slaughter it on Erev Pesach, you're going to roast it. And you're going to eat it al matzot. Umerorim, you're going to eat it with matzot, you're going to eat it with bitter herbs, you're going to eat it in a proper way. And all the laws of Pesach, Matzah, Maror initially were given when? On Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Which means the first Haggadah Shel Pesach was actually communicated to the people on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's when we first learned Pesach, Matzah, Maror. So therefore, if there's any day that might be suitable to review the laws of Pesach, Matzah, Maror, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's the anniversary of the day that Moshe communicated those exact laws to the people. So it's not a random question. The Gemara is asking a question that makes total sense. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu taught the people of Pesach, Matzah, Maror on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Haggadah, Yachol Merosh Chodesh, I would have thought that maybe we should do it the same. Understand? Good. This is all introduction. We didn't start yet anything. I'm just giving you introductions till I get to what I want to talk about. But it's important to get this out of the way so you understand that there is sound reason why we should have thought at least to read the Haggadah or Shodesh Nisan. I'll give you a third answer. Third answer is based on the Gemara. You know, there's a halakha that says that you're supposed to start learning Hilchot Pesach 30 days before Pesach. I don't know if some synagogues have a custom. On Purim day, which is 30 days before Pesach, they start learning Hilchot Pesach. Rabban Gamliel, however, in the Talmud holds, you don't have to start 30 days before. He says it's enough to start 2 weeks before. Mahloket. So based on this, according to everybody, by the time you get to Rosh Chodesh Nisan, already you should be learning and discussing Hilchot Pesach. The question is, you have to start before or not. But by the time you get to Rosh Chodesh, you're definitely within the zone, according to all opinions, that you must be discussing Hilchot Pesach. So therefore, the Gemara asks, Yachol Merosh Chodesh. Because all opinions agree that by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that is the curriculum. That is when you're supposed to be studying. Today, if you go to yeshivas, they're studying Hilchot Pesach. Why? Because within 2 weeks before. So therefore, you would have thought, based on the Talmudic law that says you're supposed to learn the laws within 2 weeks before, maybe Haggadah also applies. Very good. I then want to bring to your attention what I saw in the Haggadah Shel Pesach of the Aruch HaShulchan, Rabbi Epstein. He says something amazing. The Rashbam writes, you know why we would have thought that the Haggadah should be read on Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Listen to this language. Shehi hathalat ha-ge'ula. Because it is the beginning of the ge'ula. And I'm asking a question. The beginning of the Geulah was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Nothing happened on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. I mean, the beginning of the Geulah was the 15th of Nisan when we left. By the way, on the Aleph Nisan, we still were in Egypt for another 2 weeks. Why is Aleph Nisan the Hathalat HaGe'ula? If you're going to tell me all the plagues, so then the Hathala was a year before. What happened on Aleph Nisan that the Rashbam says, Shehi Hathalat HaGe'ula? So this is the way the Aruch HaShulchan explains. It's incredible. He says, the plagues. The purpose of the plagues was to break Paro, and to break him down. Stubborn guy, atheist, doesn't believe in God, does not want to send the people out even for 3 days. So God says, "Fine, we gotta wear him down." And it's working. Slowly, slowly, Paro, we're wearing him out. By the seventh plague, the eighth plague, Paro says, "Hashem Hatzadik." Finish, Hashem the Tzaddik. Va'ani va'ami al-sha'im. And me and my people were wicked. And already he was at the verge of telling Moshe, you can go. And then the plague of Hoshech comes. Now you're going to figure he's on the verge. Makar Hoshech should have just pushed him over the cliff. And by the end of Makar Hoshech, he should tell Moshe, leave. Something happens after Makat Choshech. Paro makes what we call in driving school a U-turn. Or an illegal U-turn. All of a sudden Paro tells Moshe after Makat Choshech, Lech ma'alai! I don't want to see your face anymore. Al tosef ra'ot panai. I don't want to see you anymore. Because if you come back here and you see me, I'll kill you. Now it seems that Paro is back, what we call the square one. He was moving, we were getting him. And all of a sudden something happens after Makat Hoshech. Now Paro is like where he was before Makat Dam. I'm not letting anybody go, nobody's leaving. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, what happened? Says, you know what the answer is? He looked at the calendar. He looked at the calendar. What does it mean? He says, listen, one thing we know about the Egyptians and we know about Paro, they didn't believe in God. Their God, which is not ours obviously, is the God of the Mazal, the Mazalot. What is Mazal? Don't tell me luck. Okay, well, I'll tell you what it is. Mazal literally means a flow. Like it says in the Torah, Yizal Mayim. What do we call liquids? Nozlim. Mazal is a flow. When God sends a flow down, it's called a mazal, and the flow comes and is influenced by the stars. But all believe that all mazal is controlled by the stars, and he might not be wrong by that, and therefore his belief was that you have to be good to the mazal and respect it, and if you're good to the mazal will, you know, bring you a good flow, will bring you a good hashpa'ah. So how does he show respect to the mazal? Every month has a different mazal. You all know the month that you're born in. And therefore, you know, you're called your zodiac or your sign. Now, don't ask me, do we believe in this? I didn't say you should worship it. It's just like asking, do we believe in gravity? Of course, I don't think it's an isur to believe in gravity. I think it's isur to worship gravity. So therefore, nobody's asking you to worship the zodiac, but there's definitely a mitziut, a reality, in the stars and astronomy, that there's a configuration every month. I'm born in Heshvan, that's Scorpio. People that are born in the summer, that's Leo. And if you're born this time of year, which is the first month of the year, Nisan, it's Aries. Aries is the father of all the mazalot, because it's the first. Anybody know what an Aries is? It's a sheep. It's the image of a sheep. Now you understand why the Egyptians didn't slaughter sheep? Not because they were like the Indians that believed in holy cow. They didn't slaughter the Aries, they didn't slaughter the sheep, because they're paying homage to the Mazal. This is the first Mazal. This is, and therefore, to them, that's their God. That's why to an Egyptian, somebody that's a shepherd is a low job, because you're dominating over the sheep. And they believe the sheep dominates over you. They believed in Mazal. And the most significant Mazal for the Egyptians is Aries. So if you can ask an Egyptian, what's the luckiest month for an Egyptian? Nisan. That's their month. The father of Mazalot. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, Makat Hoshech was in which month of the year? Adar. The last month of the year. He proves it. He says, as a matter of fact, we read about it in the Megillat Esther. In Megillat Esther, what does it say? Layhudim hayeta ora. In this month of Adar, the Jews had light. When did we have light in the month of Adar? In Egypt. Because when there was Makat Hoshech for the Egypt, what does it say by us? Ulchol b'nei Yisrael hayaor. Layhudim hayeta ora. And therefore, in the month of Adar was Makat Hoshech. Each plague lasted a month. Once Adar passed, and now all of a sudden Paro looks at the calendar, he says, wait, the next plague is Nisan. Bad luck for the Jews, good luck for the Egyptians, now I can be brazen again. Moshe miscalculated. He's not going to take the Jews out in the month of Nisan. That's the most favorable month for the Egyptians. And therefore Paro became emboldened. Paro became now overly confident because he felt Mazal Nisan, Mazal Taleh. It's going to stand for him. Therefore he said, no one's going nowhere. You're not going to get past. We have the Mazal with us. You following so far? Moshe Rabbeinu hears Paro pointing to the calendar. Nisan, my month, Taleh, Aries. Moshe Rabbeinu calls an emergency meeting with all Klai Yisrael. He says, Rabbi, and listen, we were living in Egypt for hundreds of years. We fell into that culture. So we knew that they worship Taleh. We knew that Nisan is an Egyptian month. We knew that it's good luck, as we would call it. We believed it also, because we lived in that culture. Like in America, we believe in this stuff, whatever they put in our brains. If you're living in a country for 200 years, you start to, it seeps in. Moshe Rabbeinu gets up and says, Rabbi, I want to teach you a lesson. This happens on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. The day that the Mazal switched from Pisces to Aries, Chodesh Nisan. The day Paro is saying, this is my month. Moshe Rabbeinu tells a big hadush to the people. He says, Rabotai, there's definitely Mazal, but en Mazal li Yisrael. But we're not influenced by it. The Jews are able to rise above Mazal. Our great-grandfather Abraham was born in a Mazal that he could not have children. His Mazal was to be barren. That was his Mazal. Nobody could argue with that. But as far as we know, he had children. What happened? God took Abraham above the stars. If you give tzedakah, if you pray, if you do a big mitzvah, your Mazal can change. So nobody should ever think, oh, I have a bad mazal, I was born under the wrong star, I'm stuck. And I'll prove it to you. What does it mean when we tell people, mazal tov? If you're locked into your mazal, why are we wishing you mazal tov? If you have it, you have it. If you don't have it, you don't have it. The explanation is we're saying that even if you have a bad mazal, that shows you the fact that we wish each other mazal tov is a proof that it can change. Otherwise, we would just tell each other mazal, you know, whatever it is, mazal mashehu, mazal mashehu. No, mazal mashehu, mazal mashehu. I'm telling you, mazal tov. And you come back to me, Rabbi, maybe my mazal is ra. Well, maybe it is. That's why I'm blessing you. It's your turn. How should it turn? Go learn. Go give tzedakah. Go make teshuva. Go pray. And it could turn. You're a child of Abraham. If you come from the seed of Abraham, and mazal Israel. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says to the people on the Chodesh Nisan, this month that Paro says belongs to him, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. This month belongs to you. We're above the mazal. We're not influenced by Aries. And to show you that, in 2 weeks' time, I want you to take a sheep and you're going to slaughter it in front of the Egyptians. To show them, and mazal. They worship it and we're going to slaughter it and eat it for dinner. Al matzotum rohim. It was on that day that Moshe Rabbeinu revealed to them that Paro, in the luckiest month that he thinks is his, God's going to show us in his month, that's when we're going to leave Egypt. Could you imagine the news that we got that day? We learned a lot of concepts. En mazal Yisrael, Chodesh Nisan is not an Egyptian month, it could be our month. Says the Rashbam, the Geulah began at that speech. And therefore, you would have thought, maybe you could read the Haggadah that day. That's the day where God, Moshe Rabbeinu told the people, we're leaving and we're leaving this month. Yachol Mirosh Chodesh. I might have thought I could read the Haggadah Rosh Chodesh. So then the question is, why not? Why wait till the 15th of Nisan to read the Haggadah? If you know anything about Mazalot, it's like the moon. In the beginning of the month, the moon is small. Rosh Chodesh, and then it grows. The moon waxes and wanes. When does the moon peak? The 15th. That's when all the lunatics come out. But on the 15th it peaks. It means the mazal of every month peaks at the 15th. And therefore, if you ask an Egyptian, what's the luckiest day of the year for an Egyptian? 15 Nisan, when Taleh is at its height. God says specifically on that day, where the Egyptians claim to be their luckiest day of the year, that's the day we're going to show them En Mazal Yisrael, and Bidafka on that day we're going to leave Egypt to show them that the Mazal is nothing, that God controls the world. And even lo Malach, and even lo Saraf, and even lo Shaliach, and even lo Ahed. You understand what's going on? And therefore, Yachol Menosh Chodesh. Very significant. That's the day when Moshe Rabbeinu told them, this month is ours. And we were told about the Shechita of the Mazalot. And we were told about our ultimate redemption. But the better day to read the Haggadah is when the miracle is even stronger. When Mazal Teleh peaks, that already shows the Egyptians, it's not your lucky day. Your lucky day turns actually into an unlucky day and a favorable day for us. Okay, all that's very nice answers, by the way. How many answers we gave so far?
Three.
I think we gave four, but three is okay also. I gave the answer from Rav Tzadok HaKohen that you could read Haggadah Rosh Chodesh because it's the Rosh. Pesach isn't the Rosh. I gave the answer of the Abu Darham because it was on that day that Moshe taught us Pesach Matzah Umaror, which is the Haggadah. I gave the answer of the Mefashim that say that since anyway you're supposed to be learning the laws of Pesach within 2 weeks before at least, so therefore why not read the Haggadah 2 weeks before? And now I offer you the answer of the Aruch HaShulchan that since that day was the beginning of the Geulah when Moshe Rabbeinu told us in Mazal, Mazal Teleh is not going to work for them. On the contrary, Hashem is going to overcome it and bring us out. But it is this answer that I came to discuss tonight. Go back to page one of the Torah. Tell me how you learned this pasuk. I know it's first grade, and I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence. Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. Right? In the beginning, Hashem created the heavens and the earth. That's why I learned it also. Not so accurate. It's not so accurate. The boys probably know more on this than the ladies because we had bar mitzvah lessons. So we were forced to learn ta'amim, the notes. Now the notes of the Torah are actually like punctuation. It tells us where to pause. Should we continue? Do we stop? The ta'amim actually lend the text some context. You know, an exclamation point is context. The question mark gives it context. How to read it. Some ta'amim represent stop. Some ta'amim represent comma, continue. If you look at the first pasuk, Bereshit bara Elohim. Under the word Elohim, there's a ta'am called atnach. Atnach is like stop. Now, I didn't like grammar so much in school, but we have no choice to revisit grammar for a minute. Is that a legal sentence? Bereshit bara Elohim. Is that a legal sentence? In the beginning, God created. Period. Great or what? If you were in grammar school, they would tell you this sentence is what's called incomplete. It's missing the subject. Bereshit bara, you have a verb. In the beginning, God created. That's the verb. But what did he create? Period. Now, I don't have a problem to put a comma. But an atnach is like a period. How do you learn this pasuk? Bereshit bara Elohim. Stop. Hear my question? This is aleph bet. We're going back to the first pasuk of the Torah. Simple pshat. I have another question. To me, this is so surprising. The first Rashi in the Torah, Bereshit, but the first Rashi in the Torah. What does Rashi say? The Torah should not have began from Bereshit. And I can't believe it. In the beginning, if I have a book, and I give you the book and it says, in the beginning, is somebody come and say, that's where you started from? Where else do you want me to start from? I don't know, but not from the beginning. I don't know where you started from the beginning from. That's the she's first question. Bereshit, what's the big idea? Why are you starting from Bereshit? Okay, and I say, where do you think we should have started this book from? From chapter 73. Because in chapter 73 it says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. You should have started it from there. When Moshe got up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan and said, this month belongs to you. That's where the book should begin. Wow, that's strange. So you should start a book not from the beginning, but from 2,448 years in the book. How'd you learn Nashi? I mean, if there's one thing you would figure all the rabbis can agree on, is if you're going to start a book, you start it from the beginning. And right from the get-go, they're arguing. Bereshit, where's that all about Bereshit? Whose idea was it to start with Bereshit? So that she has to apologize. Well, listen, I know we should have started somewhere else, but listen, we had a reason. You have to apologize why you're starting from the beginning? It's incredible. And where does that she feel the right place to start the book is? HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. And I'm asking a simple question. Why? Why is that a better spot than Bereshit? I introduced to you with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Sera Lama, Shom and Emet LeYaakov. Bereshit bara Elohim. He says it's a perfectly structured grammatical sentence. Nothing wrong with it according to the grammar. You know why? Because God not only created space, which this is the space, mass, the earth, but you know what God also created? He introduced to the world the measure of time. Time is a creation. By the way, I will argue tonight that time might be the most important of all the creations. Because the number one ingredient of life is made out of one ingredient, time. And before the creation of the world, it seems there was not a concept of time. When did the clock start? With which word did God push the stop clock? Exactly. Bereshit. In the beginning. Oh, there's a beginning. That means second number one. If there's second number one, that means there's second number two. Time was introduced, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. You know what God created in the first pasuk? He created Bereshit. Bereshit bara Elohim. Period. He created the concept of Bereshit. He brought the concept of time to the world, which is the most important of all the creations. That's why it's the first. The sentence is perfectly grammatically sound. Yes, Bereshit bara Elohim. Bore Olam created the concept of Bereshit. Understand? The Gaon of Vilna even goes further and says that since time is of the essence, like they say in America, we thank God every day for the gift of time. Where do we thank Him for the gift of time? Well, I'm sure you pray every day, and we start the prayer with Baruch She'amar. Baruch She'amar V'ayah HaOlam. Baruch Hu. Baruch Omer Ve'oseh. Baruch Ozer U'Mkayem. Baruch Oseh Bereshit. God Almighty, we are thanking You and blessing You that You created Bereshit. Created a beginning. And if we're here today, it's because we are enjoying Ma'aseh Bereshit. We're enjoying that first creation that You presented to the world on page 1, Pasuk 1. Baruch Oseh Bereshit. Imagine? Now watch this. Now that God gave us time, I'm going to ask you a philosophical question. Is time an asset or is time a liability? It's a very good. That's the way a rabbi answers. A rabbi never answers yes or no. A rabbi always answers it depends. That's why we can never be wrong. Learn a lesson. You want to be a rabbi? Always, whenever somebody asks you a question, it depends. And you'll always be right. Because it's something always depends on something. There's always factors. Machlok, exactly. Machlok, it works also. It depends. What does it depend on? Not now, I'm busy. But the young lady answers correctly. I ask, is time an asset or a liability? She says, well, listen, it depends. What does it depend on? Depends what you do with it. I saw a quote recently. Lack of direction, not lack of time, is the problem. We all have 24-hour days. Time is on our side. 24 hours is a long time. So what's the problem? The direction. Time is like an empty bottle. The question is, what are you going to fill it up with? If you fill it up with something valuable, you fill your time and occupy it with something that has purpose. Time is an asset. But if, God forbid, you wasted it and used it for something that's improper, you filled it up with dirty water, the time was a liability. The more time you have, the more liable you are. Time is not a gift in that case. So the whole key of time is to have purpose. And that's the best ingredient. You have purpose, and you have a discipline, and you have a direction. Add that with time, you have a good life. Rabotai, when was time introduced? Page 1, Bereshit. When was direction introduced? When was purpose introduced? The first mitzvah that was publicly given was not until HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim, where we started getting the errands. We started getting God's will. For 2400 years, there was really no purpose. Torah wasn't given yet. We didn't really have instruction. So you know what Hashem's asking? To give us time. Why is the Torah beginning with that? That's a liability, Bereshit. We don't know what to do with it. If you really want to start the Torah in a proper place, you should start it when God started filling the empty bottle. When God started to fill the empty bottle with purpose. And when is that? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. You understand how we're learning? Bereshit is very nice. But to do what with it? 24 hour days. Great. What should we do? Well, stay tuned. Stay tuned. How long should I stay tuned? Well, 2400 years. I'll give you some things that may be some ideas. So that she says, so start it with the Chodesh HaZeh Lachem. That's when life becomes meaningful. You know, there's a big machloket amongst the rabbis when the world was created. Some say Rosh Chodesh Tishri, and some say Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It's a machloket. Even that's a machloket. Is it Aleph Tishri or Aleph Nisan? Well, we could say very good. Bereshit was Aleph Tishri. How do I know Bereshit was Aleph Tishri? The word Bereshit stands for Aleph Tishri. That's Bereshit. Bereshit. Aleph Tishri. God gave time to the world in Aleph Tishri. But the second creation, which is the more important creation, was Aleph Nisan. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down and said, everybody take out their empty bottles. We're now going to fill it up with God's will. Now, Torah Siman Anu. Now you have direction. On that day, life was given meaning. Once life was given meaning, now the time turned into an asset. Therefore, Rashi is correct when he says, what are you starting from Bereshit for? Start from the law. And then he answers whatever he answers why we started from Bereshit. But he's right, we should start from HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Don't start from Rosh Chodesh Tishri, start from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Oh, that's the case. I also understand. I also understand that it is this month. So many laws were given to us this month. I don't think it's a busier month of the year than Nisan. Everybody's busy. This is part of the busyness, mentally preparing for Pesach. I'm glad that you came at that. Nobody should think that this is not part of your preparations for Pesach. People neglect this part of it. Because they're so busy doing the physical preparations that they cannot rob time for the mental preparation. The mental preparation is just as important. It's a busy month. And one thing nobody has during the month of Nisan, nobody has time. For good reason. Busy. Busy doing what? Ritzon Habore, Avodat Hashem. This is the month where we actually were alive. That's why Leil Seder, everything we do in the night of the Seder is a symbol. It's a symbolism for something. We do this four times. We take an empty cup and we fill it with wine. An empty cup and we fill it with wine. And the symbolism is that it was this month that the empty cup of time was filled with something valuable. And there's four cups, Kenegin Yudke Vavke. The Zohar says, now our time was filled with godliness, with Yudke Vavke. Many years ago, forgive me for corrupting you, but there was a movie that Hollywood produced called Exodus. I don't recommend it. I don't recommend anything that comes out of Hollywood. But I definitely don't recommend when they try to teach religion. They called it Exodus. What was the theme of the movie? Yitziyat Mitzrayim. Shows you how they missed the point. Where did they get the name Exodus from? They saw the pasuk of the Torah, Shalach Ami, let my people go. And you hear people say that, let my people go. Rabotai, let my people go is corrupt. Exodus is corrupt because you're not finishing the pasuk. The pasuk says, Shalach Ami, let my people go. But there's one more word. V'yavduni. Let my people go to do what? If all Pesach was, let my people go, you're celebrating the lack of a negative. There was no more negative. Paro was oppressing us. The negative now disappeared. We don't make a holiday celebrating when a negative disappears. Our holidays must commemorate something positive. And guess what? If God would have took us out to Egypt without giving us instruction and discipline, Yitziat Mitzrayim would be more tragic than Tisha B'Av. Now you have 3 million people in the Midbar, let out of prison, with nothing to do. It would be helter-skelter. It would be chaos. In the Midbar, 3 million people. What do we do? Nothing. We're just not in Egypt. Well, maybe you would have been better off in Egypt. At least you had a schedule. No, now we're just going to run around. Pandemonium. Oh. The key of Yitziat Mitzrayim is not Shalach Ami. It's the Viavduni. Now God says, you're still slaves. You just have a different boss. Hallelujah. Halilu avde Adonai velo avde Paro. Slaves you are. But the problem is, now God says, I'm going to give you a time purpose. When you're in Egypt, one thing the Sforno says a slave does not have. He doesn't have a lot of things. But one thing the slave does not have of his own, that's his time. His time belongs to the master. Could a slave come along and say, I'm taking off today? I'm coming in late. I want to go, I want to go do some shopping. Well, you don't own your time. That's what Paro could always tell him. Come in earlier. Stay late. And unfortunately, Paro was giving us things that are not beneficial. Building buildings on quicksand, that's what he came to this world to do. Moshe Rabbeinu stands on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and he says, today's a great day for Klal Yisrael. HaChodesh Hazeh, starting from this month, the month and the time, Lachem, belongs to you. God's returning the time to you. Till now, for the last 200 years, HaChodesh belonged to Paro. Now God says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, he's returning the time and he's going to fill it up with wine, not dirty water. Okay, Korban Pesach, make the matzot. Oh, nah, Ritzon Hashem. Now God introduced the V'yavduni. Freedom from only has value if it leads to freedom too. Freedom to serve. But freedom from alone is tragic. Don't forget, the Yitziat Mitzrayim part is the V'yavduni. That's why this month is a big V'yavduni part. Nobody feels free this month, by the way. We're busy. But that's freedom. Not freedom to do what you want to do, but freedom to live according to the purpose. You're still Abadim. But instead of being Abadim the Paro, which is a waste of time, it's Abadim the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is the best way to spend the time. So therefore, there's a big... 5 books. Bereshit is also called Sefer HaYetzirah. Shemot is called also Sefer HaGe'ulah. Vayikra is also called Torat Kohanim. Bamidbar is also called Sefer HaPikudim. Devarim is also called Mishneh Torah. I recently came across the Bahag. The Bahag has another name for Sefer Shemot. Now hold on to your seats, because this name is so descriptive And it's such a beautiful adjective. It's such a flowery way to depict Sefer Shemot. He says, no, don't call it Shemot. Sefer Geulah, I got a better name for it. What does he call Sefer Shemot? Sefer Sheni. The second book. And I say to myself, that's more exciting than Sefer Geulah, book number two. I mean, anybody can name it that. I mean, that's a generic name, book number two. And he doesn't call Vayikra book number three. For some reason, Shemot, he decides to call Sefer Sheni. That's the name. What was he thinking, the Bahag? You know what the Pshat is? Because he wants to make it very clear. Although the world was created in Sefer Bereshit, but the sequel, the world wasn't completed until part two, which is in Sefer Shemot, when God said, "Achodesh Hazeh Lachem." It's the part we want to connect it to Bereshit. Which is when you read Bereshit, you say, oh, God created time. To do what? Stay tuned, it's in part two. Coming up. Part two, we're going to talk about that. Good question. The creation is pending. Creation is incomplete until part two. In the second volume, you'll see. So therefore, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is one of the greatest days on the calendar. It's the completion of creation. It's when life received purpose. Recently saw a saying, efficiency is doing things right. Effectiveness is doing the right things. It's not up to be efficient. You could be doing things right, but if you're doing the wrong things right, so you're efficiently doing something wrong. The Torah wants us to be effective. Doing the right things. And that was given on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And therefore, the Haggadah is correct. Yachol Rosh Chodesh. Maybe we should start reading the Haggadah. That's when life begins. That's Bidiyat HaOlam. That's part two. Great day. And by the way, that's why it's in the Haggadah. Because instead of zipping through that part of the Haggadah, now in my family this year, when we get to it, Yachol Rosh Chodesh, time to stop. Why should we read Haggadah Rosh Chodesh? And you start to explain to the children. This is the V'yavduni. Because we always get caught up. We left Egypt. Shalach Ami. We killed Paro. 10 plagues. Putting in the day. We left. Therefore what? We left. This Rosh Chodesh reminds us of the V'yavduni, the freedom too. It was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan that God filled the empty cups up with wine. And therefore, I would argue that if you wanted to, you read the Haggadah Shel Pesach, all its mitzvot, Pesach, Matzah, Maror, it's the sequel of Bereshit. Pesach is the sequel of Bereshit. Biriyat HaOlam happens in Aleph Tishri, but it happens in Aleph Nisan. Remember I told you how many times God's name is in the Torah? 1820. Remember I told you how many words in the Haggadah Shel Pesach? 1820. Says the rabbi called Ahavat HaTorah, there's one other place we see 1820. If you take the word Bereshit, and you take the Bet Yutaf, Bet, Resh, Resh Yud Shin, Resh, Shin, Shin Yud Nun, Ber Aleph Lamed Peh, Yud, Yud Vav Dalet, Tav, Taf Yudva, Taf Aleph Vav. If you take all those letters of Bereshit, exactly 1820. The Haggadah is 1820. The Shemot are 1820. And Bereshit is 1820. Because the purpose of Bereshit is to fill it up with the name of God. And when was that introduced? Pesach. The Haggadah Shel Pesach. And that's a great lesson for all of us. The lesson of the class is, don't only focus on being efficient, you have to focus on being effective. And effectiveness is not doing things right, it's doing the right things. And the right things are not going to be found on the internet or in some how-to book. The right things can only be found in the book of truth, in the book of God, in the Torah, in the mitzvot. We must not only focus on the shalach ami. Shalach ami is the removal of a negative. But we must celebrate the positive of it. The vi'avduni. Now what? Then Be'ezrat Hashem, we recommit ourselves on this holiday to be people of action. The Jewish people are not spectators and we're not passive. To be an Eved Hashem, it's work, it's toil. And on Pesach, we recommit ourselves not to be free. Like they say, the freedom. In America, freedom means freedom to do what you want to do. But in Judaism, it's freedom to do what you were born to do, what you're meant to do. A violin string is free when it's lying on the table, but it's not free to play music. It's only free when you tighten it into the violin on both ends. Now the violin string can play music. Freedom is not just loafing around lying on a couch. Freedom means to tighten the discipline of life in accordance to the law. Then Bereshit has purpose. Bereshit only has purpose on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. HaChodesh Hazeh Rabotai, this month, starting from this month, Lachem, it belongs to you.
We're going to dive in Marv right now over here on the right side over here. Okay.